Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast, and we might get through tonight's episode. I can't be totally certain about that. I can't be 100% confident that it won't be canceled by the time that we get to the midway point. Right now, we've got four people eligible. That's enough. We can get down to three, but after that, we lose quorum. Can't do it. This is what's happening on the Fullcast, and it's what's happening pretty much everywhere in college football because we tried to play football in the middle of a pandemic. And hey, when you do that, you're going to get some cancellations because people can't make 56 people on the roster. Jason, we have cancellations. How many cancellations do we have in the SEC alone? A few.
The SEC alone just this week?
Just this week.
Is it? Oh, let's see. Looks like we're hovering around four so far.
Mm-hmm. We started with full inventory of seven conference games in the SEC. And we are now down to three.
Well, how...
Is that true? Is that... I think one of them... You have South Carolina Ole Miss as canceled on here. Did that get canceled?
Did you cancel that one, Spencer?
Oh, wow. I canceled that one.
Breaking news.
All right. He's seen enough.
Haven't we?
Because the other one that you don't have on this list, you have Alabama LSU. That has indeed been postponed.
Yeah.
You have Texas A&M Tennessee, also postponed. And you have Auburn Mississippi State, also postponed. The other one that is rumoredly tilting is Vanderbilt Kentucky.
What will we do without Vanderbilt Kentucky?
I'm doing this thing where I have heard that both of these schools are having trouble making roster with COVID numbers. Are they doing some kind of chicken game where they're waiting to see if the other one cancels first so they don't have to be responsible for it?
I don't think that's a concern for Vandy anymore. Vandy has already canceled outright a couple.
I don't actually think that's what they're doing. It was a joke.
I don't even know if I'm joking. Like, would Vanderbilt, like, why does Vanderbilt not cancel every game at this point?
So if all those cancellations go through, the SEC would be left with Georgia-Mizzou, conference staple, longtime rivalry. The people need it. And Arkansas-Florida, another storied, important game.
A game that even looks like it's going to happen. It is Tuesday night, so who's to say what will transpire? But will not happen with Sam Pittman in attendance because he tested positive for COVID and has to sit out.
So the only untainted game at this point would be Georgia-Mizzou?
Assuming
our early call for South Carolina Ole Miss goes through.
I think that is correct.
By pandemic, I guess, anyway.
Yeah. It's still going to have a lot of Mizzou on it.
Oh, they'll be... Well, I mean, Georgia, you got two losses, too. You're not innocent here.
That's so... That you're coming in and go, well, Mizzou's got three losses, but Georgia has two.
You're carrying your weight here. Like,
Vandy Kentucky, somebody on the Discord suggested that this be moved to the 3:30 slot for CBS. That Vandy Kentucky be that game.
When was
Gary Danielson would be so unhappy.
Has Vandy ever been the CBS game?
I think maybe one. Do you remember that one year where they like started 4-0 and they were like, we want Bama. And then they got Bama and they got killed.
I don't know if that was I'm just going to scroll through their schedules.
I don't think that was the CBS game. I do want.
Oh, it was.
Look at your boy.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Alabama 59, Vandy 0 on CBS just three scant years ago.
Yes, that's right.
This was Vandy coming in hot off of a 14-7 win over K-State. And then Vandy lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of their next 8 games. Yeah.
Cool.
So, Vandy's back.
And in a sense, that is technically true.
Yeah.
Vandy continues to field a football team is kind of the more accurate way to say that.
So the ACC, six games as of recording, nearly a full slate. AAC, Memphis Navy postponed. Big 12 going for two games. Two games still holding.
Yeah, we got
this. Is the way to do it. Promise little and deliver little.
It's butt week. Baylor University, Texas Tech. Love a good butt week.
Butt week.
Yep.
Not the first time those two schools have had threatened to cancel a butt game because of disease.
Wow. We have fun.
Big Ten and CUSA, nothing canceled. The MAC's going to be done before the inspectors even get there.
To be clear, that disease is hoof and mouth disease.
Oh, right. Sure.
We just let that roll through the boys. Makes them stronger.
And Cal Arizona State is still on the schedule. That is a road game, I guess, because I have not followed this super closely, so maybe one of y'all can help me. Cal Athletics is like maybe going to go to war against like the Berkeley Health Department. Is that
literally
right?
Literally against science.
Okay.
Yeah. But and not just if I had to say, if you got a bow up against any public health department and I had to just blind draft the team I did not want to face, it would be the Berkeley, California Health Department. Maybe the New York Public Health Department would be a close number two on that, or San Francisco, but man, Berkeley, right there.
I mean, the New York Health Department. Look at the ball they dropped with all those ghosts that needed busting. Where were they? Nowhere.
You know, they didn't have data, Ryan. I'm going to defend them.
Walter Peck didn't need data. He just went and shut down the Ghostbusters containment unit.
Walter Peck's not a man of science. He's a bureaucrat.
He works for the EPA.
Ryan, the ghosts were in good shape. They were doing their job fine.
Okay.
The ghosts were healthy.
The ghost wanted to haunt, and I think we should respect that, okay?
Sure.
Let the ghosts haunt.
It's good exercise.
Yep.
They were free range, and they were there before us. So we should have left them there, in my opinion.
And they will definitely be either here after us.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't think I want anything to do with the Berkeley Department of Public Health in a tussle, because I know Cal is playing football. Maybe not in spite or explicitly against. They're doing it against the explicit suggestions of the Berkeley Public Health Department. And this is where. Remember, we talked about COVID, saying, "Oh yeah, man, there's like 800 factors you haven't even thought of. One of them is that football isn't a government." You've had to explain this to You've had to explain this to a lot of people that football's not a layer of government. Like, well, there's the executive, the legislative, the judicial, and the football.
And special teams.
Special teams.
Special teams.
Here in Alabama, we don't have that branch.
We got the three phases of government. We're going to win all three of them.
Yeah, there's not a football division of government. It's not like Justin Wilcox is an elected official who can go and say,
"Hey." But Tom Osborne was. Take that, Lib.
That's Tommy Tuberville is.
Tommy Tuberville is.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a bad mood now.
He's going to leave for the XFL within like 3 months.
Tommy Tuberville just goes and joins the Mexican Congress. Senador.
No, he doesn't.
No, he wouldn't.
I don't think that's the direction he would choose.
I don't think he would find a warm welcome.
Yeah.
What if he just moved over a state? He's done that before.
Don't come our way.
Oh, you mean how he moved over from Florida, where he lives, to Alabama to run for Senate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or maybe just sliding on over from Ole Miss to Auburn, like he did.
So is he going to Bermuda now? I'm confused. Where is he going?
I know. You got to find some place. No.
Nope.
Although that'd be quite the heel turn if he were like, "Viva Che!"
I would love to hear Tommy Tuberville speak Spanish.
Wow.
Man, I can't even make a good Peggy Hill joke about it because I don't want to sully her name.
Well, and Rick Scott sort of like lived that dream for
God
us too.
Damn, so. Did he ever?
El teléfono.
Partido.
I've never actually seen someone attempt Spanish in real life, do that badly, and not look embarrassed.
No, because that was the best part. He thought he was killing it.
Yes.
El Partido Democratico. Amigos.
Didn't he use the version that means like soccer team?
It means like game.
Like
yeah.
Not political party? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, like Rick Scott, I haven't taken Spanish since 2003.
And okay. You committed a bunch of Medicare fraud.
I was going to say, unlike Rick Scott, I am not attempting to public speak in Spanish out of respect for this beautiful language and its peoples.
El Medicare fraud.
So far, the night is done.
I have no idea, by the way, like, where that ends. Like, does Cal have to do this? Do they have to become like the Bandido team that only plays at other venues other than their home field?
Well, you know why they're called circuit courts, right? Why they're called circuit court judges?
Well, because they used to ride around, right?
Because yeah, they used to like
if
you
because they played pickup basketball.
It was because they were all robots, Johnny Fives, and they were alive. No, they used to like. If you look at
they
a map
were
of
until the uprising,
that's right, led by Steve Guttenberg. If you look at a map of the U.S. the U.S. districts, the circuits, yeah, the back in the old day, you would ride around on a horse and hear all these cases and shit. So you're suggesting that they could be like the old timey circuit judge of college football, although that feels like that's already Central Arkansas's role in some way.
So two suggestions on this. One, if I had a big case, a big federal case, and I came up, the circuit court judge was Johnny Five,
yeah,
I feel pretty bad about my chances.
What if you got to meet Ali Sheedy though? That'd be fun,
but they're still dropping the courthouse on me, right? The other
what did you do to robots? What did you do to the robot?
Johnny Five is not a particularly malicious robot. Only if you're an asshole.
Are you thinking of the Terminator?
No, that's where I think you're wrong. I think Johnny Five would I think Johnny Five's hiding, right? Like, I know of a federal judge who wore a Santa suit the last day before Christmas break in his court, and when asked, "Were you more lenient that day while wearing the Santa suit?" he said, "No, man, hang him high. I was putting people away that day, in the Santa suit." So I think the Johnny Five thing is a cover. I think he's probably a malicious judge. And I will also, this is the second part of this, I know that many judges pack heat underneath the robe just in case things go sideways. And I just, the idea of Johnny Five with the D-Eagle strapped beneath the robes, it's an intimidating thought for me.
So to be clear, you don't want to draw Johnny Five as your assigned appellate judge.
No.
Because of the imagined Johnny Five that you have created, who is like very mean and wielding a gun. Jason was right. You're thinking of the Terminator.
No, he's real nice up until sentencing. You think everything's going great.
That's RoboCop then.
Yeah, no, but RoboCop's not nice.
Sure he is. He says, have a nice day.
Spencer, do you think all 80s robots run on the same programming?
Oh yeah, listen. These are constitutional originalists in that they all run on Fortran.
So this is all like it's all MS-DOS. Every single 80s robot is exactly the same.
Oh yeah. And I'm getting like 20to life.exe from
What about 90s robots? What about Cletus the football robot?
They all run on Windows. So maybe they'll just blue screen of death and I could get out of there.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, yeah. Holly, how do you think this college football podcast is going?
I'm so tired, and I want to kill so many people. Why?
Nothing. No. We're good.
Cool.
Hey, Jason, you got a game you want to preview this week?
Penn State, Nebraska.
God, what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me? I'm not the one who's 0-3. I'm not the one who started number 8 and is on the verge of 0-4. I'm not the one who spent all summer begging for football and is now on the verge of 0-3.
I'm not the one
with problems here. It's Penn State who has problems, and it's Nebraska who has problems. One of them was about to have really fucking big problems.
You're selecting this game makes me agree with Holly. I am also very tired and want to kill.
I mean, I think this is the Sickos game of the year so far.
This is the Sickos game of the year. If it managed to break Ryan in the name of picking a bad game to watch this week, Ryan, this is your metier.
Yeah. Ryan's got like Illinois Rutgers holstered and ready to go. He's got some kind of football biohazard on deck. And
I mean,
you said something that appalled even him.
I mean,
Illinois Rutgers
still
teams in that game have
so.
A win. Yeah. That does not apply here in Penn State, Nebraska.
No, this is, I mean, I reserve judgment as to whether, I'm not going to necessarily agree that this is the sicko game of the year. It's definitely of the week. There is no doubt about that.
I mean, just imagine the anguish, the howling, whoever loses this game. It's on at noon, nothing particularly better going on. I mean, our Hoosiers have a key division game, and yet, the big noon game is TCU. West Virginia. No, thank you. Give me little. So Penn State, Nebraska, you've been bumped by TCU, West Virginia. That's how far you've fallen. I wish I'd had the time to look this up. The last time a top 10 team started 0-3 and or 0-4, which obviously part of the fluke there is Penn State, the schedule being canceled and all that. And I cannot recall who they were originally going to play. But, yeah, going from number 8 to 0-4, boy, that would suck.
Not for us.
It's not my problem. But Penn State, you're favored by 3.5.
At least they didn't get housed by, like, Maryland.
Well, that. They got their ass whooped by Maryland is the thing. Yeah, they didn't just lose to Maryland.
they got drugged.
They looked like the Maryland of the Penn State Maryland series.
The rivalry that never dies, where Maryland has won 4 games out of 39.
One in a row. Like
what? One in a row is enough.
Make t-shirts about it. Call it the splotch.
The splotch was good.
The aberration
was good.
The just one red line on the wiki page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a crab holding an ink blotter going, gotcha. The splotch.
Combo breaker.
The anomaly.
Yeah, that would be, I'm really glad Maryland doesn't do this, but for humor's sake, the idea of them taking a page out of the Detroit Red Wings playbook and throwing crabs onto the field anytime anything good happened would be astonishing.
Especially every first they down. Were smaller and alive.
I'm thinking
I don't want something that lands and cracks. I want something you have to chase.
Yeah.
Nano crabs.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. Yes.
Jason, what
precisely.
Is who is the who will melt harder if they lose this game?
Oh,
I don't know.
About crabs.
That's the beauty of it. I mean, so Nebraska after this, you got Illinois at Iowa, at Purdue, Minnesota. You can beat Illinois, so you'll get a win this year. I mean, beyond that, who could predict? Penn State.
Narrator's voice. They did not beat Illinois.
Penn State, it's a little bit rougher. You got Iowa. You got to go to Michigan, an equally desperate Michigan. You got to face Rutgers. They've won a game, unlike you. And then Penn State, Michigan State at the very end, which could be for last place in the Big Ten East. Jesus, I don't know, man. I don't know which is worse here.
I'll go with
Penn State started with outside national title aspirations.
Sure.
Right? Get past Ohio State and you're in the playoff. Whereas Nebraska, you're the whole reason we're in this fucking mess.
Yeah.
But at least we got football, baby.
But at least it's our mess.
I will say, I think it's Penn State. Because if Nebraska loses, there's still enough, I think, rough rationality there to be like, we lost to a better team.
Sure. Yeah.
But if Penn State loses to Nebraska, if they have to start the year and be like, yep, we have 4 losses. One of them's to Ohio State, and that one's fine. And the others are to Indiana, Maryland, and Nebraska. Like, that's some throw your PlayStation against the wall.
I guess.
And go home.
The other thing here is Nebraska, if you lose, then what do you say? Fuck you. Hit me again. Give me Illinois.
Right.
Fuck you. All I came here to do was play football, not win football. You know, like all Nebraska wants to do is play football. If they go 0-8, so what? Fuck you. Penn State, you actually planned to win most of these games.
Sure.
And you're on the verge of being DQ'd from that. So, yeah, it's Penn State. It's Penn State.
Okay.
Like, Nebraska's happy no matter what.
Yeah, at this point, Nebraska has hit the point where they have hit rock bottom and are sliding sideways. Penn State might be like, is this it? Nope, we're going lower. Going lower. There it is.
Oh, like, why are there so many sub-basements? God damn it.
They're the guy in the gag who's continuing to fall through each floor of the building and has not stopped yet. Like, oh, that's interesting. I just went through a restaurant. Hey, look, retail store. Oh, an apartment. Hey, folks. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just going down, and they haven't hit the floor that's going to stop them yet. Meanwhile, Nebraska, they're like, this basement's fine. I'm going to fight my way out of it.
Yeah, fuck you. We'll stay down here. Whereas Penn State, it's like,
it's nice.
Penn State, you're at least 30 seconds into the hot rod mountain fall. You're at the point where it's like, oh, they went for drag it out so long that it stops being funny, and then it's funny again. And then it makes another lap around that continuum. So, yeah. We got some tumbling.
I would also... The team that Penn State has to face after Nebraska is Iowa.
They don't have to.
I think they have to.
You can just say no.
Is that a thing we could do now?
Sure.
Yeah.
I decline.
Decline a bowl game. Why can't you decline a conference game?
I mean, if you simply don't show up, it's not like they have like teleportation devices.
What if they just told them, I don't really like those guys. I'm not feeling it. Not like we're not afraid. You know, we're completely willing to play football with you. It's just that you're kind of dicks.
What would happen? The Big Ten would say, okay, Penn State forfeits. Penn State would be like, cool. Like, thank you for the Saturday where we can, like, have a few hours to do some fun stuff and not lose a football game. Iowa would get a win. Iowa would get a what? What do you get if in a forfeit? It's like 2-0?
Yeah, I think it's
like Iowa would get the platonic ideal. Yeah. Like, you don't have to play.
Perfect game. By the way, week past that is at Michigan in a game that I guarantee you will leave absolutely no one involved happy in any way.
There's a lot of talk about Penn State football. And, like,
yeah, I kind of want to take this game out and shoot it because all I hear is a bunch of old yellers.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty of it.
I was going to say Boston College, Notre Dame, because I don't think Notre Dame's going to put together that same game two games in a row, because they really played a beautiful game against Clemson, a Clemson team that I still think is probably better on paper, especially if they have Trevor Lawrence as starter, which they don't, because he came up with the COVID. Yeah, I don't think they play that game two games in a row, and though I don't necessarily think they'll lose, I do think this is a Boston College team that we've seen can come out hard swinging in the first two quarters. They might run out of snaps. They might run out of stars. They might run out of talent, right? At one point, the differential will cave in on them. It's just kind of a matter of, well, can they get a big enough lead to make it interesting before that happens? And the answer so far is yeah, because they've already done that to Clemson.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
I played eight games.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't, like, maybe Notre Dame has a turd in them to drop. It what? Does not feel what? Like it will. You heard me. You heard what I said.
Ryan said a curse.
I said a cuss. I said a poop word. Like, if I'm looking at the games that are left, and geez, like, there's not a lot of choices left because they're not going to lose to Syracuse. That just, like, makes no sense. I don't think they'll lose to Wake Forest, although I would be lying if I said that I had watched a single second of Wake Forest football this year. So maybe. UNC seems more probable than Boston College if they're going to lose.
Yeah, like, shootout? Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, it's UNC is in a different stage as a team than Boston College is right now.
They're in a different stage. Doesn't mean that, you know, especially like we don't necessarily know what the roster will be looking like by then.
Sure.
That's another thing that's messing all of this up, right? I could see the weight gain being stupid. I don't know about an upset, but the weight gain could definitely get stupid because Wake Forest has an innate talent as a team in the Dave Clawson era for making games wilder and stupider than they had any reason to be.
It's really wild that, like, Notre Dame normally exists in this world where they say, and they are largely right, that, like, look at this schedule that we play. Look at this, like, amazing, you know, circus that we put together for you.
I'm so glad you said circus, because now I get to say, look at them clams.
We're going to play Stanford, and we're going to play USC, and maybe we're going to play Michigan, and blah, 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 blah. And now, to coming off, like, a huge win for the program, to have to be like, it's Boston College, UNC, Syracuse, Wake. Like, this is very much, you are, I guess, kudos to Notre Dame, you are living ACC life, hardcore.
I hope they win the national title, because that would be the dumbest possible result to the season is, hey, we spent decades crying about Notre Dame playing a difficult schedule that doesn't have every team on its schedule wearing the same jersey patch. Well, now we have that. Guess what? We gave them an easy schedule. Nice. But somehow it's validated because they are in standings now. So, yeah, at least to the playoff. Let's get Notre Dame into the playoff. Notre Dame and Clemson into the playoff.
If Notre Dame...
That feels funny.
If Notre Dame runs the table and wins the national championship, do you think that changes their perspective on conference membership?
I hope not. I hope they retire with the belt and just go directly back to independence.
Because it would be very funny if they won the national, if they went undefeated, won the national title, go back to being an independent next year, 7-5. Year after that, 8-4.
And then
just
they say,
like,
and then they say, hey ACC, actually we do want to join after.
Oh God, feeling kind of sick. Maybe we should do another temporary season. What do you guys think?
Gosh, we sure do miss you guys.
Ooh. The Abigail Adams of independence.
I got a fever of 98.9. I run cold normally, so that's very high for me. I think we should just go ahead and sneak us back in.
I got a fever of 7-5.
How infuriating would it be for Notre Dame to do that for Virginia Tech of Miami, who since joining the conference...
Oh, God.
Haven't really come close to sniffing a national title. For Notre Dame to wing in year one and be like, "What, y'all act like this is hard. Wow. We just picked one up, man." Beat Clemson. You know, got the conference title, got the national title. Yeah,
especially because in this example, they're beating Clemson twice.
Mm-hmm. At least once. I mean, I could the ACC be a two-bid league?
Oh yeah, I'm assuming they run the table. I'm talking about the world where they run the table and do this.
Okay.
Strolling through here like Elle Woods. What, like it's hard? Legally bland.
I went to Harvard football.
You can't spell blonde without ND.
And blow, bro, right? Up top.
That's the University of Miami part.
That's the Miami. I had to get them in there. Shouts out. I don't know if you saw, by the way, in the middle of a tropical storm with flooding in Miami, somebody put a Lambo through like 3 feet of water in Miami.
Was it Batman?
Miami Batman. He's a little different.
He doesn't wear a shirt.
But a mask. Doesn't... Yeah. His identity
but he has
is
a mask.
Concealed.
Yeah.
His identity is concealed, but you know, I know a guy. I know a guy who knows a guy.
I think there's a lot of getting in fight and tearing off the mask. Like, you don't fucking know me, bro. You know?
Miami Batman's been knocked out by Canes players at least 3 times in the last 10 years in, you know, South Beach in fights.
But it was fun. But it was for fun.
Yeah.
That's how he stays in shape.
It is, yeah. I fight. Sometimes I go up and fight FIU, and sometimes FAU. I hit all the letters, you know?
I think Miami Batman fights crime by day because, you know, it's
got a party. That's right. Yeah.
So Miami Batman is out there in 105-degree weather, sweating his ass off.
That makes, by the way, that makes Miami Batman a Miami goth, the most committed goths in the world, the Miami goths. because not only are they hot weather goths, they're Miami goths. So yeah. It's like 9,000 degrees and you're out there wearing like black PVC pants and an overcoat. No, I'm not hot. It's fine.
Are you lonely? Yeah, pretty lonely.
So we need to pair the Miami goth with the Midwestern shorts guy.
You just organized a dating site. Congrats.
Or a bowl game.
Yeah.
That sounds like Harmer's only.
That's Wisconsin Miami, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Okay, I guess we've already done this.
We've done that, yeah.
How'd it go?
Someone got
shorts.
Bashed.
Good for the shorts guys.
Yeah. Good for the shorts guys. Went down there and hung out with them. Great bunch of guys.
Shorts guys at night, sailor's delight.
Yeah.
Oh, that Batman. Great guy.
Batman.
Batman. Bit of a lightweight, though.
I tell you, I didn't believe in global warming until I felt 76-degree temperatures. That was incredible.
He said the Batcave kept flooding. I'm like, it's Florida, bro. You figured it out?
You got to get a sump pump.
You built a lair in limestone.
Jeez. People don't know geology. We have a reader question. Our one reader question for tonight. We always select just one for our mailbag episode.
Can I do a runner-up?
I would love for you to do a runner-up.
Just for tonight?
Yes, for tonight.
Because we had one reader ask whether we had any schools that we would either want to take football away from them if they're playing it right now, or if we would want to give football to a school that didn't have it right now. And there is a school that I would like to give football right now, and that school is Michigan. Thank you. I will not be taking questions. Moving on. He did ask.
Wow.
I have a servant's heart, and I won't apologize for it.
Yeah, it's one of the servants who stabs you in your sleep.
On toast.
Can I say the one I would want to give it to the University of Mexico, Mexico City? Because that would be the most amazing game day environment all of college football instantly if they played in Estadio Azteca. Yeah, like you think going to LSU something. No, you're like, they're throwing bottles of piss at us.
We get it. You did study abroad.
Yeah.
Nah, that's... he just had a lot of bottles of piss thrown at him.
Yeah, I did. I unfortunately watched the United States men's national team go down there and lose 7-0 a bunch of times while getting bottles of piss thrown at them. The inferior national soccer team. Of the two we have.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow. Damn. Well, Spencer said it, so
I know
that closely debated question.
Yeah.
Finally, we have an answer. Finally. A big decision coming in. Let's go to Cornacchia. The big... Oh, yep. We're calling the race for the U.S. women's national team.
I'm willing to do it. I'll get out there.
You brave boy.
No, there's.
I mean, that looks like a pretty sturdy limb, but we may want to move something under him that's soft.
Is it over water? Because he can't swim.
I heard that about him.
I'm plenty buoyant, though. I can float.
No, you don't.
I all float down here.
Menos tú, Bargorda.
Menos tú, Bargorda.
Hear that, Rick Scott? You bitch.
Alfredo de Medicaro.
Not guilty-o.
That's all you need to know.
I just hope the El Blubito guy saw that.
El Blubito.
The school in Mexico, of course, their mascot is the Pumas. And they appeared in the 1945 Sun Bowl, where they were... They did not fare so well against Southwestern University, but...
I think deserve a second chance, frankly.
Yeah, I think we can make this happen.
Yeah, let's bring it back in. The other question we were going to ask comes from Jordan Bellant, and he asks via Twitter, saying, what's one college football or adjacent story y'all wish would have happened during your time covering the sport? And I have an answer. It's not a huge one. You expect, like, oh, maybe some gigantic scandal. And I'm like, well, kinda. Tail end of Florida State being good featured a player who was colorful, to say the least, in the year 2000, coming off an excellent season. The Florida State Seminoles had a kicker by the name of Sebastian Janikowski. Might be more familiar to you as the kicker for the Oakland Raiders. Rather stocky Polish fella. Sebastian Janikowski basically got arrested for a bunch of drug and alcohol-related things. Mostly alcohol. He'd only been speaking English for 6 years. And on January 23rd, 2000, this appeared in the Tallahassee Democrats' annals. Florida State's football hero bad boy Sebastian Janikowski hit both ends of the spectrum this weekend, lauded with teammates during a national championship celebration Saturday afternoon and honored as a special team's most valuable player at a football banquet that night. He was then arrested in the early morning hours Sunday, charged with a felony count of, and I have never heard of another college football player being charged with this, bribery.
Not Ryan Perilou?
No, no. That was racketeering. Impossible involvement with counterfeiting. Perilou, I don't think they threw bribery on that pile. An off-duty police officer arrested Aaron Silverman, 26, described as Janikowski's roommate outside a downtown night spot at 2:45 a.m. for trespassing. Tallahassee PD then said Florida State's kicker was arrested after he dropped $100 bills into an officer's lap, asking him to let my friend go and forget about the whole thing. Like, in plain sight of everyone, Florida State's kicker, not their running back, not their star quarterback, not their star linebacker, not their star defensive end. Nope. Not a wide receiver, not a tight end. Their kicker, at the peak of Florida State's powers, thought he could just drop $100 bills in a cop slap and be like, we're cool?
Was he wrong?
He,
I wasn't there.
The funny thing is, he wasn't really wrong. June 13th, 2000, Dateline Tallahassee.
There we go.
Former FSU kicker Sebastian Janikowski was acquitted Tuesday on bribery charges. This went to a jury trial. A jury trial of four men and two women. They came back after deliberating for under an hour. The 22-year-old top draft pick of the Oakland Raiders, and man, what a sketchy title that was in the Al Davis years, was accused of offering a police officer $300 outside a nightclub in plain view of everyone around him. And the jury bought it and acquitted him because, according to them, the argument was that Janikowski, a Polish native who began speaking English just 6 years ago, simply thought he was paying his roommate's fine. I love this story so
not
much.
Guilty. Not guilty.
Not guilty. They were like, yeah, I thought you could just pay on the spot, man. And a bunch of people in Florida were like, well, why can't you do that?
It's true.
Seabass has got a point.
Streamlining government.
That is the one story, because it's the only time I've ever heard of a player openly throwing money at a cop going like, go away.
I think the only mistake made, first of all, two things. One, you never hear about the bribery cases that don't get prosecuted. Okay.
Yeah.
Like it's only bad when it fucks up. It's like a fake punt. Two, I think the mistake was he should have offered the cash to the cop, waited for the cop to like almost take it, and then citizen arrested the cop for taking a bribe.
that would have been the most, is that the most Florida result here?
This is absolutely why we have a sports law blogger on our show.
Oh God. It hurts because it's true.
Can I also say that how on earth did this man get in any actual trouble? Like, that's how you know Sebastian Janikowski was wildin' in the year 2000, because he got in trouble in Tallahassee in the year 2000, in any year, yeah, as a football player. It's not real likely. There's a lot of allowances, a lot of phone calls made. Generally, in the state of Florida, in any major university town, if you're a football player, you ain't getting in trouble. Not unless it's egregious. And even then, sometimes, if it's egregious, you're not getting in trouble.
Not unless it's a what?
Not unless it's egregious. I'm sorry, he committed egregious. Yeah. I don't know how you did this, Sebastian Janikowski, but just for the fact that it even happened, much less for the acquittal, you're a marvel of human endeavor and creativity. So, yeah, there's the one story I really wish that I'd been covering the sport on at the time.
I have one from well before, I think, any of us, actually. Yeah, Spencer's not this old, and he's going to be mad that I even suggested he might have. Too bad. Were born. And that's from the 1964 Maryland Navy game, where
I remember this.
No.
This is where a Maryland player named Jerry Fishman got a couple of penalties in this game for, like, late hits, personal fouls, whatever. And after one of them, he injured a Navy receiver right in front of the Navy stands, and the Navy faithful started booing him, and he turned around and gave him the finger. Then he had a late hit on reigning Heisman champion Roger Staubach, got booed again, and gave the Navy crowd another middle finger. And this was so, first of all, Navy was not very good this year, and Navy eventually lost this game on 101 kickoff yard, 101 yard kick return touchdown. But this was received so poorly, and Navy was so pissed that this dude had turned around and flipped them the finger twice. And this, like, temporally, this is, like, probably within a few months of the Gulf of Tonkin incident. So it's not like there's much anti-military sentiment in society at large that you'd see later in the Vietnam War. So it's, like, kind of a big deal. There is a good quote he has where his mom was at the game, and he says, somebody said to her, "Did you see what he just did?" And he claims his mother says, "Oh, he did that all the time in high school." So,
flipped off the Navy?
Yep, flipped off the Navy. The point is that this was so so offensive to the Navy, to the Naval Academy, that they had one more game with Maryland already scheduled the next year for 1965. And then they didn't play Maryland again for 40 years. And, like, it came up, like, people would ask the Navy, like, "Hey, Maryland's right there. Have you thought about playing them again?" And pretty consistently, they were like, "No, we can't do that because alumni still write us and are like, 'Don't you dare fucking play Maryland, those sons of bitch.'" Like, it's...
Do they still hang out with Jerry? Yeah? Okay, well, screw them.
I just, like, I imagine, who was it that got kicked out of the Ohio State-Michigan game and flipped everybody? Flipped the crowd, the double birds. Do you remember
Marcus Hall?
Yes, thank you.
My cousin,
my hero.
Imagine if that had happened and Michigan had said, "We're not playing Ohio State for 40 years."
I am positive there were some people who said
that would have been. That would have been wise.
That would have been preferable.
That would have been so wise.
Hey, now I wish that I had thought at the time to FOIA missions communications immediately after that game, because I bet you somebody tried.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Someone absolutely attempted to get this series canceled over that.
He didn't. It was two fingers. Two. He couldn't even keep it to one.
The other thing I like about this story is that Navy was, you know, Navy didn't join a conference until 2015. And so for the entirety of this refusal to play Maryland stretch, they don't have the sort of, like, built-in advantage. Like, Texas and Texas A&M, not that they'd ever want to play each other. Why would they want to? Why would they think about that late at night when they can't sleep and all they miss is like the scent of a warm short sleeve white shirt next to them? They at least can say, whether it's true or not, and we all think it's bullshit, like, well, you know, we got to see if the schedule works out. Really, you know, a lot of conference games we got to worry about. That's really our goal first and foremost. For Navy, every season it was like, hey, y'all got 10 to 11 games. Would you like one of them to be Maryland? And for 40 years, like, I like this because of the proximity and because it's so much like pissing your neighbor off with one small thing. And he's like, I will never say good morning to you again. Never. I will die having never waved to you, said good morning, picked up your mail while you were on vacation. None of it. You are dead to me.
I admire this so much.
God, I love this dude. I would want him on my team instantly.
Right? Like, right?
Who's that guy? Yeah, he flipped off Roger's stall back. Yeah, what do you do after that? Doubled down? Flipped off the whole crowd. He shot the middle finger to the entire United States Navy, and I'm like, I would follow that man to hell.
Yeah.
I feel like the Navy would be more used to wet blankets. Don't encourage me. Thank you, Jason. Spencer and Ryan, work on it.
Sorry.
I'm throwing gas in this fire. Jason, do you have a story that you would want to cover from another era that you did not get to cover?
So there's a lot of college football history. My mind went to a lot of different things.
Sorry, source?
I realize this is as bold as Spencer's claim that the men's soccer team is better than the women's soccer team. But
I said it.
There's a lot to sort through here. So here is one from Spencer was around, 86, 1886. Mm-hmm. Yale Princeton were playing the national title game this year. It gets called because of darkness. That meant a tie, and due to the era's rules, basically it meant Yale gets the national title, but Princeton's like, hey, we didn't finish the fucking game. So they go to a hotel to argue about it for hours. Princeton offers a rematch, still pending. That would have been fun, you know, championship squabbles. 1919, Colorado School of Mines and Denver played a scoreless tie, but before that, Mines was accused of rolling through Denver's campus, throwing dynamite, blowing up. Yeah.
Wait, when you say throwing dynamite,
I mean throwing dynamite.
Yeah.
So that Denver University students swore there was an earthquake. Explosions blew out about 100 windows in University
dynamite.
Hall, okay. Carnegie Jesus. Library, Memorial Chapel, and the School of Theology.
I got 5 stars, but helicopters haven't been invented yet, bitch.
The chancellor said if all the dynamite planted on our campus had exploded simultaneously, it would have knocked down all our buildings. So, and miraculously, no one was hurt. The counter for this was Denver students retaliated with graffiti, captured students dressed in, you know, prisoner of war overalls, and then they played a 0-0 football game.
You really,
graffiti?
Like, that's pretty, yeah. It, yeah. When you get dynamited.
Take the L.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
But there was a phase in American history where dynamite was way too easy to get.
So like when we grew up watching cartoons and it's like Looney Tunes where it's like Daffy Duck gets his face shot off and we're supposed to giggle at that, like at the time that was lighthearted comedy. You know what I mean? Like the cartoons we grew up on, now you go back and look and you're like, this shit is terrible. But
oh,
at the
dynamite.
Time Well, sure. But at the time, like, that was the peaceful way to resolve things, is merely a shotgun.
Sure, but then Denver should have done the smart thing and painted the side of a rock to look like a tunnel and convinced school of mines to run through it.
Just plow right into it.
Yeah.
No, don't, Wilbur!
No, I don't know if a school of mines would have fallen for that, right? No, that's the oldest trick in the miners.
No, they might have gone, ooh, it's a hole. Gotta see what's at the bottom.
I think they dig under the painting, yeah.
Yeah.
So covering that time at the Bacardi Bowl when Florida had to, like, literally flee the country because of a dispute with the refs, that would have been fun. Mm-hmm. covering that time NC State was on the cusp of its only major bowl trip in its entire history, but was unable to make it because its basketball team got into a dispute with Kentucky over a recruit. One of the original inspirations for Sinful7.com. Very good book about college sports and other stuff. That would have been fun to cover. But the one I come back to, the 1991 Cotton Bowl, when the University of Miami set a record for margin of victory with 43 points and a record for penalty yards in the game with 202. You've seen the GIFs, you know, six shooters down the down into the locker room and back out. Randall Hill, Texas Longhorns humiliated up and down the field. So many dances. The NCAA made rules because of it. This game would have been so fun to cover in real time. This was also, who was the broadcaster? We've talked about it on this
before. The color commentator was Mike Francesa.
Okay, and
yes. And in case the dog whistles weren't loud enough, Mike Francesa put shame on himself and his family and everyone he knows by openly going like, this is just outright thuggish behavior, just a disgusting. For some reason, they had Mike Francesa's stupid ass doing color on college football when the Miami Hurricanes were playing. And as if there wasn't enough of a tinge of overt racism to how this game was covered, okay? Texas had decades of problems recruiting African-American players. Decades. It's one of the reasons that A&M had a resurgence under Jackie Sherrill, because Jackie Sherrill actually recruited African-American players and made them feel welcome in College Station, Texas. If you want to know how bad it was in Austin, it's this, that talented African-American players went to College Station instead, okay? College Station, which previously described on this podcast and by me as Wakanda for white people. Yeah, that's how bad it was in Austin. So they show up against the Canes and they get smacked, destroyed, embarrassed. The Canes effectively give them, what, 250 yards in penalties? And they still lose by the biggest margin in the history of the bowl. And Mike Francesa is on air saying things like, it's just a disgusting display. I can't buy it.
I'm looking at Mike Francesa's wiki page. 1982 to 1993, his job was primarily college football.
What?
Yeah, started 6 years at College Pro Football News Weekly, hired as a college sports researcher. According to the wiki, his nickname was Brent Musburger's Brain. That is not a nickname you want, pal.
Oh, no, no. Speaking
very horny.
Was all bad.
And kind of racist. Yeah, because if you'll remember, Brent Musburger, as a columnist in Chicago, recalled the Black Panthers as jackbooted thugs.
Nothing
and
but racist fleas in there.
Never said anything racist again.
Never.
So he was so. You're telling me he was so good.
And misogyny after that as well.
He went to specialty. Yeah.
You're telling me Mike Francesa was so good at covering college football that he was sentenced to watching, I don't know, probably 300 Jets games.
Yeah. So.
And caring about things that the Jets do.
You don't ever want to be too good at this, because they'll go, oh, you should go cover pro football, right? Like,
like
yeah,
the Jets.
Go cover the NFL. Yeah, you'll have to go talk about the Jets, and you're like,
part of our main utility on this show is that we keep each other out of that danger.
That's true.
I don't know. They're going 0-16, and Roger said it's the most fun he's ever had as a Jets fan, so it might be time to buy in.
I want you to think about, like, what do you think is the silver medal on that list?
Fumble?
Sure, maybe.
Yeah. Jumbo Elliott catching a TD? That might be, because Jumbo Elliott against, I can't remember who that was, but it was a Monday night game, and Jumbo Elliott caught a touchdown. So you got to call touchdown Jumbo Elliott. That might have been the other most fun moment in the history of the Jets pre-Namath guaranteeing a Super Bowl victory.
Like, I think we're saying in our lifetimes.
Yeah, in our lifetime? Yeah, it's Jumbo Elliott.
Like in recent memory, I guess.
Yeah.
Bills Jets rivalry wiki page. Jesus.
No!
Don't.
Why does
close.
This need to happen?
Listen, I know that we like reading the internet on this podcast. Please close.
Your browser. The overall series, 65.
Your browser failed you. Your browser failed you by letting you even open that.
It gets worse.
Okay,
Dolphins,
okay.
Jets rivalry.
Jason, no. if you read this page, I am hanging up, and you will. The rest of you will do the show without me.
All-time series. Jets okay, 55, bye. 54, and 1. Folks, if the Dolphins beat the Jets.
Mom, turn the car around.
This thing is tied. If you don't like Penn State, Maryland, because it's too dominated as of late by Maryland, this is the rivalry for you. I do believe Ryan has left.
No. He said he would do it, and he did.
Hey, Jason, go ahead and tell us about the Jets, I guess.
I did. That was all. I just wanted to point out their rivalry record with the Dolphins is neck and neck.
Oh, okay, good. That means that we can today celebrate the death of a truly terrible Nazi.
Oh, yeah?
Tom Metzger died. I don't know if folks saw that. Via longtime friend of the program, guest on the program, prettiest and smartest branch of the EDS coaching tree, Jane Costin. She shares, man, what has got to be an all-time entrant in the Hall of Fame, what are you going to do, stab me annals? Jane shares with us that Tom Metzger represented himself in court when the SPLC filed a civil suit against him and asked for a new judge, as he believed the one appointed to his case was Jewish. The new judge was black. This is funny. The judge's account of how this went down from an Oregon Live story in 2014 is even better. I'm going to read it. Civil rights lawyers sued leaders of the California-based white Aryan resistance for inciting the slaying. But the Aryan group didn't think Multnomah County's presiding judge, Donald H. Launder, which is a hell of a name, Donnie Launder. The Aryan group didn't think Donald H. Launder, who was Jewish, should hear the case. Parties to the lawsuit met in Launder's chambers, and a clerk thumbed through a big book to find the next judge available. This is another fantastic name. Answer Haggerty. A-N-C-E-R. I hope I'm saying that right. Also, Answer is a great name for a judge.
Mm-hmm.
No one in the room mentioned that Haggerty happened to be the first African-American man to hold the title of circuit judge, back to circuit judges, in a state that was then 91% white. Judge Launder turned to Portland civil rights attorney Eldon Rosenthal. We are wall-to-wall great names here. So the judge turns to the civil rights lawyer from Portland and goes, Haggerty, okay with you? And Eldon Rosenthal goes, I had to put my head down and cover my mouth, recalled Rosenthal, who had known Haggerty for many years. And then they asked Metzger, the founder of the white Aryan resistance, will you accept Haggerty? Metzger agreed. Rosenthal shot a glimpse at Judge Launder, who winked at him. How often do judges get to go... Haggerty recalled the look in Metzger's eyes the first time the neo-Nazi walked into his courtroom. It was clear that Metzger had heard the name Haggerty and assumed the judge was white. He was shocked, Haggerty said.
I just want to be the bailiff so bad when this is happening, because the bailiff had to know, and he was like, watch a dude's face. Watch a dude's face. What? There it is! There it is!
What a beautiful payoff.
Everyone in the room knew he was playing himself, and they all had to be like, be cool. Shut up. Be cool. Don't laugh.
So this dude hears the name Haggerty, and he's like, that is a noble name belonging to a member of the master race.
Yeah.
He's picturing like Roman bust Avi.
Mm-hmm.
Like that now that is a true Western name.
Whoops a doodle.
Hello, sir.
Oh, I'm just imagining like being the judge. I'm imagining this playing out in my mind like a movie, and I'm picturing the judge getting ready for work that morning, like whistling in the mirror as he shaves, you know? Just humming a pleasant little tune as he sips his coffee. Oh, what a great day at work.
Oh, God. You know what he should have asked for? He should have asked for Johnny Five. Circuit Court Judge Johnny Five. Would have rolled up there.
Would have been a pretty short circuit.